Noble Dairy Queen's new summer blizzard menu is back, and it is stacked. Dive right into the summer celebration with their new peanut butter cookie dough party blizzard. You can sink your red spoon into their world-famous DQ soft serve, filled with delicious chunks of chocolate chip cookie dough, swirls of creamy peanut butter topping, and peanut brittle crunch with sprinkles. If the peanut buttery flavor isn't your jam, their fresh take on cobbler a la mode certainly will. Say hello to the Picnic Peach Cobbler Blizzard. You can also let your taste buds crumble with the Ultimate Cookie Blizzard that features Oreo, Chips Ahoy, and Nutter Butter pieces. Dairy Queen knows everyone loves a good comeback, and fan favorite Blizzard flavors Frosted Animal Cookie, Brownie Batter, and Cotton Candy have made their triumphant return. Summer Blizzard flavors are now available at your Noble Dairy Queen stores with locations in Kankakee, Bourbonnais, Moments, and Manteno. Happy tastes good.
People tend to stick to
Hello and welcome to Kankakee Podcast, where we talk about the people and places of Kankakee County. I'm Jake Lamore, and our guest today just released a new book called I See You, and the author is none other than Amy Kemp, who lives in Bourbonnais, right? Yeah. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. It's fun to be here. I have to tell you that when my kids were younger and I took them to grade school, we would always listen to you in the morning. Oh. So it's really funny that I'm sitting across from you.
Oh, that's awesome. Well,
thank you. Having your voice in my headphones. So.
It's kind of a circle mm-hmm. moment, right? Because what I also love about this right now, we're sitting down to where you actually recorded the audio book version of this book, I See You, as well, right in this room. We're recording in right now. So it's just like, wow, this is, and it's also kind of weird, like that we're not like I feel like we should be doing that right now just because there were, I don't know, how many sessions was it that we did for the audio?
That's a good question. At more than 10, probably.
It was,
do you think?
I think it was around
10.
There. Like you killed it. That was my first like, kind of being behind the scenes on an audiobook recording.
Sure.
But from what I could tell, and of course, it's not like this is a, 500-page book, but still, I thought you went through it pretty well. You're like, yeah, we did three chapters today. And I'm like, whoa. I was like, that's pretty good.
That took way more energy than what I thought it was going to. There was a higher level of focus to bring, not only to hit the words correctly and to read it without errors, but to bring the energy of the book to it, because it is my voice in the book. And I wanted people to feel, I think you can feel people through, even through an audiobook. And so I wanted to make sure that it had the feel of the book in my tone. And then working, it was cool having, there was the guy from Maryland in my ears guiding.
Yeah,
Steven's there. And so it was just a really neat collaborative process.
It was, yeah. And it's bringing up what you just said. It's kind of a weird spot, right? Because you have to sound like yourself, but you also have to have this edge of animation about your voice too that you don't normally sound like. So it's kind of like an in-between of your normal voice and then like the very high spectrum of like being too animated. You have to like find that middle ground. So isn't that weird how that works out? Because you can't just go in and sound like yourself. I'm like, well, you don't sound very excited in this part. I need you to that sentence needs to sound more exciting that you just read.
The other piece that you noticed, there were a couple of times where I said, Stephen, this author is so wordy.
Who is
who
this?
Who wrote this
book?
We would just laugh because a sentence, and actually, thankfully, when I was recording the book had not fully gone to print yet. And so we were able to make some changes based on me hearing myself out loud and saying, oh, I just repeated that word in the last sentence. Or, you know, we were able to just make some small tweaks that needed to be made.
So, yeah.
Yeah. But it was great. And I'm really excited to have that as an offering because a lot of my readers are women who are really busy. And so sitting down to read a book feels unattainable, but they consume huge quantities of books listening while they're doing other things. There tends to be like this work at home or wherever you are, where you're either in the car or you can listen, but you can't sit and read. So yeah. I'm happy to have that offering.
Yeah. And fun fact, your brain does not know the difference between an audiobook and actually physically reading a book. Your brain does not know the difference. So it's throw that out there as well.
You mean it's absorbing the information the same way?
I believe so.
Interesting.
Yeah. Huh. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm still a tactile learner. With books like mine, I want to hold it in my hands. And I get that feedback from a lot of people, too.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there are some books where I prefer it on Audible.
Yes.
I want to hear the Audible.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're getting all caught up in the audiobook is just because, you know, I was very thankful to be a part of that and Pathfinder was too. So thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
But let's backtrack a little bit and just kind of get some backstory on you, just because you, you know, up to this point, you have lived several different lives and people might know you from one or the other and didn't realize the other one even existed.
Totally.
So,
yeah.
Are you originally from the Kankakee County area?
No, I grew up in Sandwich, Illinois, so about an hour from here. I went to Millikan University, got my teaching degree in English, and then got my first teaching job at Clifton Central High School. So that's what brought me to the area. And then while living there, met my husband, Ryan, who's from Clifton. So I have actually now lived in this area longer than I lived where I grew up. So it does feel more like home to me. We lived in Clifton for 6 years and I still play pickleball there. So shout out to my pickleball friends. And we have lots of ties from that area, obviously. But then we moved here. Let's see, my son's 17. So 17 years ago, we moved to Bourbonnais.
Okay.
And that's been home since. So that first life of being a teacher, I both taught in Clifton and then in Hersher. And fun fact is that at that time, I was so young that a lot of my students who were seniors and juniors were not that much
younger. There wasn't a big age difference, right?
Yeah. I mean, if they knew, in fact, how small of an age gap there was, it might have been like, whoa. So now today, a lot of them have kids the same ages as me, and we kind of live parallel lives more than me being older than them.
Yeah.
From that first season.
Yeah.
Then I started a small business in sales. A lot of people know me from that realm, which I built for 20 years into what I would say. I mean, it still is amazing that it grew like it did, but I was leading the number one team in sales in the United States, and a lot of those people were local or from small towns around here. Some of my most amazing favorite people in the whole world. This most recent iteration of Amy Kemp came about a little bit accidentally in that I just kept on feeling this nudge to work with women outside of the context of that other business. I don't know why it felt ridiculous. It felt like I'm already leading all of these women. And yet I kept on running into people in different settings and hearing this message that I needed to work with women outside of that space.
Mom, before you go into Frank's Appliance Center and Sleep Source, just know it wasn't me.
Stephanie, quit being so dramatic. It's Customer Appreciation Month, and we have a lot of work to do. Those Sealy mattresses aren't going to mark themselves down.
See? Everything is marked way down, even the Sealy mattresses. I suspect Audrey.
Franktastic! magic. It's a shower of savings. Perfect way to show our customers how much we appreciate them.
Did you see the closeout Sealy, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses? I've never seen the prices so low. I think you need to have a conversation with Audrey.
You're right. Look, Audrey even found financing options up to 60 months. That girl deserves a raise.
But wait, did I forget to mention that it was all my idea?
It doesn't matter whose idea it was. The customer is always the winner at Frank's Appliance Center and Sleep Source. Let Frank shower you with savings. But you better hurry. These showers won't last long. Frank's Source, your neighborhood
expert. Do you feel like it was just because all the interactions you had with either people on your team mm-hmm. or even people not even in the same company, but maybe a company similar to it with a similar position as you,
yeah.
you all kept saying like the same things. Like, I'm exhausted. I'm,
yes.
you know, like I'm working
kept,
all of this.
Yes. And, like the, okay. So the similarities between, and it would be, I'm at a ball game or I'm at a community event or I'm at church or I'm wherever I am. I find myself in these one-on-one conversations with women having similar themes. Isolation, exhaustion, overwhelm, a general feeling of not being seen. And in fact, can I share the
yes,
title,
please.
The story yeah. that inspired the title? Because I think this sort of captures the woman that I'm talking about. So I was at a networking event. A mutual friend very quickly said, Amy, I want you to meet so-and-so. Very quick interaction. But I felt like, oh, you know, when you meet someone and you think, ooh, I want to know that person more.
Yes.
And so I reached out to her after the event, maybe the next day or something, and just said, I'd love to meet for coffee. So we sat down and for about an hour, I just asked questions, learning her story. And this is someone I would say sits at important tables in our community, makes decisions that impact hundreds, if not thousands of people through her work. Has a really busy, committed family life. And she tells me her whole story. And almost through, we're almost like wrapping up. And she kind of abruptly stops and looks at me and says, why did you invite me here to coffee? And I, it was this like, oh, I kind of paused. And then I just said, because I see you. And she just put her head down and wept in the middle of this really busy coffee shop. And I just let her, I knew she needed to. And then she sat up and she sort of composed herself, wiped her eyes and said, thank you. So few people do. And that was my person. Everyone sees her, but no one sees her. And that person doesn't need the very quick 5 tips.
Yeah.
She's
them.
She's not new to this. And she's already established herself and has a level of credibility and success. But that was my person I kept running into that I knew I needed to serve. So few people were seeing them and they were everywhere. And so she represented that in sort of a big picture. And then inspired, obviously, the title, I See You. It was interesting. I'll give you some behind the scenes on the publishing piece. So
yeah, please.
I work with this amazing publishing company that's out of Vancouver. And it's called Page Two. And the team supporting me has been amazing. But the title was problematic. They really wanted the book to be like about me.
Mm. I see.
And they wanted to center me in the storyline. And I kept saying, I'm not the center of this book. That's not why I wrote this book. I wrote this book for this person that I had coffee with and everyone like her. And
even yourself.
You're right. Always your ideal client, right? You always are. So anyhow, So we went back and forth because the titles they were wanting were more like master of whatever. Mm. You know, they were centering me. And obviously I'm on the cover of the book, so I am central to it in that I'm the one seeing. But what I wanted from the book was for women to read it and to feel like they were in a one-on-one coaching session with me, that they felt seen, they felt understood. Because once they do, then they can do all the other things. And so I really, we came down to like this impasse on the title. And I just said, I'm not backing down. Like, yeah.
You put your foot down and like, listen, it's going to be this way. That's how it is.
Yeah. And I wrote this book for someone, not about me. I'm not the expert coming in to teach you. I just know you. I see you. I see what's happening. And I know you. I work with you every day. And so that's the shift or the difference in this book is that I wanted it to be a safe space for women to feel seen and understood.
It's kind of like breaking that fourth wall. Like, I don't know. I'm thinking of theater. And
tell me more. You know, I don't know what that means, fourth wall.
So it's, or even in, you know, if you're in a band and you're performing on stage, it's you break that fourth wall when you interact with your audience. So instead of...
Why is it called the fourth wall?
I don't know.
Oh, maybe because there's like three walls behind you and on the sides, and then there's a fourth in front of you or something.
But I think of that reference just because I imagine, you know, the publishing company saying, no, Amy Kemp is on a stage and you are teaching this audience and you're not breaking away from that. But it's like, no. I'm going to get off the stage and I'm going to walk down the aisle.
Yes.
And actually,
like, I'm here in service of my reader or my audience, if you're using theater, instead of I'm here to perform for them.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what's so funny about that? I love theater, by the way. I mean, in fact, it's funny. Right before we came here, I was texting my daughter about flying to New York and flying home in the same day to go see Hell's Kitchen, which is Alicia Keys' new musical.
Yeah.
We love to go to New York to theater because the New York theater crowds are so interactive with the people on stage.
They're into it.
And the theaters are smaller there. So you're closer and you're just more like a part of the show. And I love that. So that's a really great illustration of what I hope people experience in reading this is like they're close to the stage, not only as an audience member, but as a participant in the actual show.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And this book is an interactive book because at the end of each chapter is almost like some thought-provoking questions you're supposed to ask yourself, and you ask people to write down their answers to this in a journal. And so they're able to reflect on the things that you're talking about. And you're while you are sharing your journey, as you said, it's not exactly like, oh, me, I did this. And, you know, you're just like saying like, hey, I've been there or I'm here as well. And I see you and I know you're going through the same thing because most of us are, right?
Totally.
So.
Absolutely.
But I'm curious, you know, what got you out of teaching?
This is a funny question to ask me in front of a bunch of people that are from our community. You know what? I think there were multiple things. I think I have the heart of an entrepreneur. And so working in a very controlled from this time to this time wasn't really going to jive with my spirit. I also had a baby.
Okay.
And actually, I talk about this in the book, but the traditional work world is really tough for people raising kids, especially women.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't created. So this is the current traditional work structure was not created for the way that families are functioning now, the majority, meaning the current work structure was built for a family where one person left the home for 8 hours a day. One person stayed home and took care of all the unpaid labor, the caregiving, all of the home things, right? Well, now in our current economy, it's very difficult to make enough money to do that, where you need the two income home if you're fortunate enough to have two partners sharing that responsibility, which that's a whole nother thing, right?
Yes, it is.
If you're single parenting, you don't have a choice. You have to leave the home.
Yep.
But there are all kinds of structures, and I write about this in chapter 9 of the book, that are in place that don't support that new family structure. And what has happened is that all the unpaid labor that women were doing as their men left the home to go make the money didn't get equally distributed, or they're still doing the bulk of it while also working full time. And that's not just cooking, cleaning, childcare. That's also who's making all the appointments, who's buying all of the gifts, who's planning the parties and the holiday gatherings, and, you know, distributing who's bringing what for those events, who is even just keeping track of school communication and homework and that kind of thing if you have children, but even caregiving for elderly parents. It's not just kids. Even just owning a home has its own set of, we just got this thing from like a utility company that we needed to fill out this form, you know, and you're just, There's just a lot of things that you're doing in the running of a home that tend to lean toward women getting them done. And they're also doing the paid labor now. So they're doing unpaid and paid labor. And that's not, the unpaid labor is so valuable to our communities and our families. And it's so important. I'm not saying it's not valuable. I'm saying you don't get paid for it.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So you come to this place. What happens is that women are exhausted by all of those demands. And then they're not able to maybe, for example, sell as many widgets as someone else, or they're not able to. The thought of even pursuing that higher level leadership role is just daunting because they're barely keeping up with what they're doing now. And they think it's because they're not capable, when really it's just that they're doing two full-time jobs.
Or four or five.
Well, exactly. Yes, exactly. Right. So again, and this isn't like, even in my house, Ryan jumps in with anything, but I'm overseeing it all. So the point is, one, can we pay someone else to do some of the unpaid labor so that, for example, I write about this in the book, but my friend Erica owns a cleaning business locally. Well, can I pay Erica to have some of her team clean my house so that I can use that energy to do this that will create the money that I can use? Then she can build a business that supports her and her family and the people who work for her, versus trying to do all of that unpaid labor on our own.
Yes. And I'm sure some people are thinking, well, I don't have money to pay, you know.
Yes. Like, but, it's like the chicken or the egg, right?
Right.
And you don't have the money because you're doing all the unpaid labor. So it's not like you're offloading all of it right away. It's just baby steps of, or even distributing it more equally among the people in your house. But even that is fraught with a lot of energy because you have to hold them accountable to doing it. And like, my husband would do laundry once a month. You know, he would wait till it was at the worst point. And that doesn't.
I'm so guilty of that. Literally, I will let it gets to like a mountain. And then
I know this mountain. I know this mountain. We had this mountain last week and he was so excited about it. And then he attacks it and he feels like he conquered the mountain. I hate the mountain. Like, I want just a small hill and then take care of it. So again, but here's the other thing.
Does he say kablooey too? Because, okay, so another funny, you know, connection is, you know, your husband has worked. He's still an administrator in the schools and teacher and coach and all of that. And I had him for driver's ed. And I always, every time I think of Ryan Kemp, I think of, you know, him teaching driver's ed in the summertime. And he would always talk about when there was an accident and be like, yeah, if you don't stop, then like kablooey, right into Walmart. You know, it was always kablooey right into it. Was funny. Always Walmart too,
that's
it seemed
awesome.
Like yeah, so
that's
I don't know if that's like a word or right. phrase he uses yeah. like on the daily
he
and
has many and, words
but that's what I always think yeah. of when I think of mm-hmm. Of Ryan Kemp.
That's yeah.
yeah anyway mm.
But I do think what I want people to hear from that is just that, especially women, there's nothing wrong with you. And you are so capable of earning more, that next level. But the reason it feels unattainable isn't because of a skill or you're not capable. One other thing, there are a lot of structures that inhibit this. Like, for example, a lot of business meetings where networking happens among people who are power players happen at 7 a.m. and 4 or 5 p.m., which are literally the worst two times for, we'll say, parents, because it's the worst. Like, those are just absolutely inaccessible
right.
for me.
You're getting the kids ready for school, and then you're picking them up. At the end
and
of the day.
And then there's just like a flurry of things that happen during that time
right.
that I've got to be present for.
Yeah, so, sports, homework.
Yeah. So, or how about this? Even things like summer sports camps run by schools happen between like 10 and 11:30 a.m. Monday through Friday, which is, what are you supposed to do if you're working? You know, there are just these structural things in place that still are set up, assuming that you have someone who's available and flexible, or even just summer break in general is yeah. really difficult for working parents. All the breaks and those types of things, early releases. And again, it's just that these structures are still in place that were set up for a world that no longer exists.
Yeah.
And so we've got to make some structural changes. I'm not sure that's my level. I'm more just drawing attention to the fact that
you're just trying to help people get through it,
to understand why this feels so difficult.
Mm-hmm.
If there is a reason.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of brings it to one of the simple things that it's a simple thing, but it's mm-hmm. something that we don't consciously think about every day until you kind of pointed it out, talking about your natural genius. I feel like that's where
this chapter mm-hmm.
where that leads us to, and something that I feel like we don't think about enough. We're always thinking about the pieces mm-hmm. or the tasks that we struggle with, right? And we're like, oh, mm-hmm. I want to be better at that, and
sure.
and but yet we don't give ourselves enough credit for the things that just are so natural to us, and we do them so well. And that's one thing you touch on.
So true.
One of the things you touch on early on in the book is your natural genius. So I don't know if you want to explain
that. Yeah, I'd love
to
talk about that.
Yeah.
So, and there's a fun story in there about Justin Giacchino, who runs the Bourbonnais Starbucks.
Yes.
Many people know him in our community. And this is the thing. Our areas of natural genius often feel so easy to us that we think we don't even recognize them. We're just doing it intuitively, instinctively, and therefore we tend to undervalue them. So one of the challenges in the book is, like, do the thing that feels easy to you and astonishes everyone else. What is that thing? So, for example, for me, I have always, literally, I can remember doing this in grade school, been able to facilitate small groups of conversations with people and I can get the conversation to go deep, where people really share things that are meaningful to them. Well, I didn't know that was a special gift. It was just something I did. I did it as a teacher. I did it as a student. I've always done that. It felt so easy to me. And so I didn't know how valuable it was. And one element of my business now is structured around leading small groups of women through a curriculum. Right?
And, huh, that sounds familiar.
Right. And so I think, oh my gosh, but I've watched other people try to do it through the years and they can't. They either dominate the conversation with teaching, they let someone dominate the conversation without drawing everyone in and making it interactive. It is natural genius, and it is exceptionally valuable. One of the tools I use in my coaching is the book titled The Greatest Salesman in the World. And there are scrolls in the book that are like 2 to 3 pages long. But one of the things it says is, you are rare and there is value in all rarity. Therefore, you are valuable. So your gifts are rare. Those gifts that are rare, for example, that example I just gave. And there is value in all rarity, meaning like diamonds are valuable because there aren't very many of them. So when that gift is rare, it's valuable. And we are thinking, oh, I don't even notice it because it feels so easy to me.
Well, we live in such a demanding, multitasking culture where it's like, no, I need you to do all of these things and I need you to do all of them well.
Yes. And we stink at some of them.
Yeah.
And then we preclude ourselves thinking we're not good.
Mm-hmm.
And so like Justin in the story has this natural ability to make a space feel welcoming. And the Starbucks isn't the most aesthetically pleasing Starbucks I've ever been in, but they do an astonishing amount of sales. And I've watched him create that, and he does not know he's doing it. I'm confident he's just being who he is.
That's what he's good at.
It's his natural genius.
Yeah.
So it's like, how can you find a space where you can use that thing that feels so easy to you, but astonishes everyone else, and use it to generate income for your family, whether it be through an entrepreneurial space or as an employee, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Where can you serve the world with that unique genius? But also, I think for my ideal reader, I want to challenge them to make money from it.
Yes, right.
I do.
And that's what you did for yourself.
Totally.
You know,
that's true.
You know, you kind of, I think of, you've got all these things on the side that you were good at in your previous business. And you're like, I'm good at all these things. And you kind of just spread the sea, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, but this thing
is what really drives me.
This thing in the middle, this is what I'm really good at.
Yeah.
And so I'm just going to focus on this and then I can charge money for it. And
Children are naturally drawn to art and the creative process. For them, it can be a form of expression as they explore the materials, gain confidence, and feel a sense of competency as they create something based on their own ideas and efforts. That's why Little Me's studio in Bourbonnais created the Big Kids Art Lab for ages 5 to 12. Little Me's studio crafted this safe space for your big kid to slow down, be in the moment, and be comfortable making messes while trying something new. Big Kids Art Lab meets every Thursday from 4:30 to 5:30 p.m. at Little Me Studio across the street from Olivet Nazarene University in Bourbonnais. Studies indicate that art making has so many positive effects for the brain, body, mind, and heart. Enroll in one class at littlemestudio.com or sign up for the entire session and save. littlemestudio.com to sign up for Big Kids Art Lab. Make sure you follow Little Me Studio on Facebook and Instagram.
And here's the thing. You can't be a prophet in your own land always. You learn that as a parent really quickly.
Oh, that is so true. Man.
Right? So even while I've served so many people locally, I also know that there's a limited space for that. And so some of the people who will receive what I have to say aren't just local. There are other ways that I can work with people now that allow me to have that impact in a greater space, which is cool. Really cool.
And we were kind of talking about this before we were recording, but you know, your focus is women. And obviously this book is geared towards women, although I feel like a man could easily benefit from this book as well, just because I think a lot of the topics in this book are universal. But specifically for women, I think it's just that's what you've built your life around, your business around. Mm-hmm. You know, you can you work the best with
I know
with
them.
Women.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do have both male and female clients, but the majority, I would say, are women, and always have been. There's something about the experience that's a little different. They tend to doubt themselves more, push aside their natural genius more easily, overlook their value, not demand that they get paid what they're worth, more commonly. That may be a stereotype than men, but I have quite a few male advanced readers of the book, and they've all said the same thing. Well, yeah. Why did you market it just toward women? I said, well, because every other book is marketed toward you. So just now you know how we feel. We're reading all these business books that are like so clearly masculine in their marketing. So I'm just giving a special gift, but of course, all of the men are welcome in that right. space as well.
Well, and to credit what you just said, I mean, how many women read all of those books that were maybe on the more masculine end? Men have every right to be able to do the same thing.
Totally.
If, you know, Okay, it's geared towards women. I'm going to read it. I don't care
Absolutely.
Because I'm finding it so far that I'm like, wow. This is making me think about all kinds of things. And it's not like it's not to the point where it's so geared towards women that
anyone can
take something.
It's universal truth.
I know one thing we wanted to make sure we talked about with the book, I See You, which available anywhere online.
Yeah, anywhere you can buy books, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, of course. You can actually go to amykemp.com/book. And there you will find, sometimes people like to purchase bookshop.org gives a portion of the sales to local bookstores.
Oh,
so
cool.
There are different spaces where you can buy the book depending on what you prefer. And then of course, Audible, and then the Kindle version is available as well.
Yeah. But we wanted to get to kind of like all the different local people that were involved in helping make this book possible, all the local people here in the Kankakee area. So,
yeah.
I mean, obviously we already touched on Pathfinder's part of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, getting to like even just the cover photo was done by a wonderful local photographer.
Okay. I know this because I have clients from all over the country. And this just happened in the fall. I do an event where I bring 8 women in from around the country for a weekend retreat. And it's kind of like the natural genius chapter. We forget how great the area where we live is. We tend to just take things for granted, or we don't recognize. They were astonished, one, at how connected everyone was. I sent them, they had some free time and they went to some local businesses and just got to experience this area. And it was so cool to hear their feedback on that, because we live here, so
right.
you just forget,
yes.
right?
And this is something that we bring up quite often on the podcast, and so I'm glad you're bringing it up once again, because it's always good to have that reminder.
Yeah.
You know.
But not only that, we have the caliber of, for example, Sarah Jane Photography, who did the cover. Her skills in the world are at the top of the heap. And my publisher was really nervous, I think, when I said I wanted to have my picture on the cover, number one, and number two, that I had someone who would take the pictures, because they just kept saying, well, it has to be a really good quality. And they are so thrilled with what we created with that picture and their design team together, but with what Sarah brought to the table, it's like world-class quality.
Yeah, I agree. It's a fantastic photo and fantastic cover. It really does look like this was
just amazing, right?
Yeah.
And so that, obviously, Nicole Marie's salon did all the makeup and hair right next door.
Okay.
Which is super cool. But then there are people throughout in the book. Obviously, you all helped me with the recording of the Audible. There was just a very collaborative, even deciding the cover went through, well, obviously, Stacey Wilkin with Experience Edit, just because she has such a good design eye. Her sister, Jamie, does all my graphic design work.
Oh, she's a great graphic designer. Yeah.
She's fabulous. I have this team of people around me. They're astonishingly brilliant and amazing. And just that they're right here. Not only that, but there were some other support things that came in, financing for certain parts of the book. Barbie Brewer Watson helped me with that, which was super important, connecting me. Gracia Turner at Iroquois Federal was a partner in bringing the book to life. There's just like this cool collaborative process. And probably my favorite thing in the whole world is when there's just an idea and then there's a million steps, but then there is the thing, the idea, and it's in your hands. There's something about that. And it's not the end that is really the joy. It's the like how many people it took to collaborate to create this book. It's astonishing. So when people say, oh, you wrote a book, I thought people would just go to a cabin in the woods and alone write a book. Oh, no, no. And not only it's because it's not just about writing a book. A lot of people could write a book. It's about publishing. It's about marketing the book. It's about bringing the book to life. We're doing an event locally also, which I wanted to make sure that I mention. It's June 7th, which is a Friday. Everyone is welcome. And it's going to be built around the book. So we will be doing interviews with a couple of the characters that are real people.
Okay. I think I figured out who a couple of them are. Just you didn't use their real names, but just by like the description of them, I'm like, I think I know who that is. I know who that is.
Yeah. You'll get to it. But there's a story about my friend Lane. There's a couple of stories about my friend Lane. He lives in Utah. He's flying in and we're going to do an interview with Lane.
Awesome.
And so some of the stories will come to life, but also you'll get to, I'm going to be interviewed by Jamie Friedland. You know,
perfect.
Jamie, who runs Matea's Joy.
Yep. And she's been on the podcast too.
She's amazing.
And so, I just saw both of you at Stefari last week. So
yes. Yeah. So Jamie's going to interview me. I'll be doing some deep dive teaching on concepts in the book that day also. The registration is up on amykemp.com. It's under that same book section.
Okay.
So it's all under book. Or you can, I think it's actually also under events. It's under both places, sure. So you can find it.
And this
is
at the Majestic.
It's at the Majestic.
Yeah.
And I'm just really excited about it. One, because it will give me a chance to thank and celebrate people in person. But also, I think there will be an energy that comes from people having read it, because it will be a few months after the book has come out. I want to see what's happened. I want to hear some stories and have people share some stories. I want to really bring the book to life that day.
Yeah.
So everyone is invited. You also can get a team ticket. I think it's 6 people. There's like a little bit of a discount if you purchase a team ticket.
Oh, cool.
So if you want to get together a group of people and share the cost, or you have a team at work, you can bring a team of 6. So excited about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Stacy's
sure
helping me with all of that. Of course.
Stacy Wilkin. Awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it'll be interesting to have conversations with people to learn about, you know, what questions have come up in their minds when when they've read certain chapters in your book, and they ask you questions and things you didn't even think about, you know, and maybe that'll spur another book.
I don't even want to talk about that. I feel like that's like saying to someone who's 9 months pregnant, so when are you going to have another baby? I think that's a horrible thing to say to me.
I'm not saying like, you know, but I'm just saying like that might lead to the next light bulb moment that you have. You know what I mean?
I know. That's what everyone says. So they say the second book comes from the response to the first.
Yes.
So I'll just trust them. I am not there yet.
No. I'm not asking like, so when are you going to do the second book? No, I'm just saying like, just for myself, just because I've noticed almost every type of creative venture I've done.
It leads to the next thing.
That's usually what leads to the next thing.
And don't you think that's the point?
Yeah, I
is
think
this
so.
That's creative, part of it. Just like letting letting the energy of creation move through you and out into the world. Mm-hmm. It's a cool thing. And doing it with people that you love.
Yes.
And enjoying the process. I really have enjoyed every bit of this process, not just the end result. It's been this very, I've grown and changed and learned so much through it, and then deepened relationships through this shared experience. So I'm so grateful.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And mm-hmm. I'm grateful that, you know, we were a part of it as well. So it was like, you know, when it came time to do this podcast recording, I was like, we have to do this podcast. I mean, she recorded this book right in our studio, you know, and while I did hear bits and pieces of it, you know, I love it. Kind of has all come together now where, you know, maybe when I overheard some of those bits and pieces, it didn't really quite fit in my brain. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, you know, but then I started reading it. I'm like, oh, wow. It's like, this was recorded here. I was like, this is awesome.
I've had so many people say, some advanced readers say, it's such a funny comment. They'll say, Amy, it's really good. Like, kind of like, surprise.
Like, what did you think? It was going to be terrible? Like, it's not that I didn't think it was going to be terrible or anything
totally.
Like that. But
I know what
but
they
when
mean.
You're, you know, like, I wasn't necessarily, I just provided you the space and the equipment, or Pathfinder did. And it wasn't my, you know, it was Steven's job to, you know, to listen to the whole thing. I was merely just the guy to make sure that everything was working. So, you know, that's why I was just hearing bits and pieces here and there. So I wasn't able to really kind of connect everything together.
Yeah. Well, funny story. Justin got an early copy of the book at Starbucks, and I'm literally in my pajamas driving through at a very early hour because I desperately needed a refresher. And he is yelling. He's taking the garbage out. I'm in my car in the drive-thru line. He's yelling, Amy, I mean, it's really, really good. And I'm like, thank you. I haven't brushed my teeth yet, but thank you. Like, it was the funniest thing. And he's like, no, like, I really am reading it and it's really helping me. And so
yeah,
we
that's
just
what
had
I found.
This
it's
funny it, conversation like that. So
only two chapters in, and there's so many things I'm thinking about in my brain. I'm like, ooh, like I need to approach some things differently in my life. And even with like Kankakee podcast, it's just really got my gears to turning. So.
Well, thank you for creating this space for our community.
Oh,
and
well,
I think these connecting points are important. I think we need to have a sense of pride about this, this place that's our home and that we are creating together. And I think it's important that we have, especially the our channels of communication are shifting and there's less local experience. And so these local voices, I feel like, are so important. People feel connected.
Yes, I could not agree more. Yeah. Well, thank you for the kind words. I appreciate that. Is there anything else that you want to get out about? I know we could go on about ICU forever, but anything else you want people to know about this book?
Sure. I think the only thing I would say in closing is, it's vital for people to understand that the book was not written about something, but it was written for someone. And that is, those are the words of my writing coach who guided me through the process. But it resonated with me so deeply because the same is true for my business. My business isn't about providing a service. It's about serving people. And if I achieved that goal of it being for someone and it serves people, then all of the creative process is worth it. Mm-hmm. It drove everything when it got really noisy and I felt doubt and fear. If I looked into the eyes of my reader, I felt very calm and I knew where to go next. And so when I say it's for people, I do mean the people here in our community. That's vital to me, that we invest here and serve the people that are in our community and connect with each other. So,
Very well said. I could not agree more. Thank you so much, Amy, for coming by. And yeah, pick up your copy of ICU. And even if you're a man,
you're
or
welcome
whatever,
to the party.
whatever you identify as, anyone could benefit, like, from ICU. So I'm looking forward to reading the rest of the book.
Cool. I can't wait for you to read it.
I'll let you know. I'll text you and I'll be like, oh my gosh, like you totally just, you know, I just had this big epiphany in my head and it's all thanks to your book. So
cool. Thanks, Shake.
That concludes this episode of Kankakee Podcast. I'm Jake Lamore. Thank you so much for listening. Please hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Kankakee Podcast. Shout out to Carrie O'Connell for supporting the show each month through Patreon. If you want your name announced on a future episode, sign up at patreon.com/Kankakee Podcast. Special thanks to our sponsors, Chicago Dough Company, Noble Dairy Queen Stores, Frank's Appliance Center and Sleep Source, Pigosh Engineering, King Music, Little Me's Studio, Taco John's, D. Westfall Jewelers, and Edward Jones Financial Advisor, Adam Elroy. Kankakee Podcast is produced by the fine team at Pathfinder, a full-service marketing agency in downtown Kankakee. Learn more at yourpathfinder.io. Our theme song is by Lupe Carroll. This river carries